I Hate Politics is a podcast about a human activity we love to hate. I'm Sunil Dasgupta. It's Thanksgiving time and millions of families will be using their gas-fired ovens to cook their turkeys, combusting natural gas for 3 to 4 hours depending on the size of the bird. We have long known about carbon dioxide emitted when we burn fossil fuels, and many homes have CO2 monitors to keep families safe. But a new report from a citizen science project in D.C. and Maryland has found that running gas stoves for 30 minutes causes nitrogen dioxide to spike to levels higher than recommended in the ambient air quality standards of the EPA. Nitrogen dioxide is known to contribute to and worsen asthma, among other diseases. I spoke with Barbara Briggs, the convener of Beyond Gas, the group that conducted the nitrogen dioxide measurements in 663 homes in the region. Beyond Gas is a coalition of Washington Interfaith Network, Interfaith Power and Light, Action in Montgomery, and the Sierra Club of D.C. and Maryland. Also joining the show are Janet Phoenix, a physician who teaches health policy at George Washington University and chairs a DMV area asthma coalition, and Montgomery Village community leader Jamila Ba, who was one of the volunteers who conducted the actual NO2 testing. Stay with us.
I Hate Politics is brought to you by UMBC's Political Science Program, where you'll learn to shape public policy, impact communities, and function at the center of modern society. Learn more at shadygrove.umbc.edu.
I Hate Politics is a podcast about our neighborhoods, workplaces, schools and streets, and our local governments as they function in diverse and democratic societies. This means our politics are messy, dirty, sometimes corrupt, with often self-serving politicians. But no matter how much we may hate politics, we are never exempt from it, even when we refuse to participate. In fact, the purpose of politics is to keep society moving precisely when we don't agree with each other, like now. Music for this episode comes from the Washington, D.C. rock and roll band Seven Door Sedan. Glenn Kowalski on vocals and guitar, Josh Singer on bass guitar, and Norman Vandersluis on drums. You can find their newest fall 2024 singles on Bandcamp. We use two songs, Neutro and Juniper.
Pick up my phone if it rings all night. Ask me anything, it's all right. I'll tell you I'm neutral.
Barbara Briggs, Janet Phoenix, Jamila Ba, welcome to I Hate Politics.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Burning fossil fuels, including pipe gas, releases carbon dioxide, but also nitrogen dioxide. Nitrogen dioxide is one contributor to asthma. How much nitrogen dioxide is emitted from a typical household stove?
In our study, we tested 663 households in DC and Montgomery County, households with gas stoves. And there is no indoor standard for a safe level of nitrogen dioxide. There's only an outdoor standard, which the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, gives, which is 100 parts per billion. So we kind of thought of that as a benchmark. In our testing, we ran the stoves for 30 minutes, and we took measurements of nitrogen dioxide at 15 minutes, at 30 minutes, and at 15 minutes after the stove was turned off. And we also noted down the highest measurement. What we found was that of our whole sample of 663 households, 63% of them had high, sort of the high measurement of over 100 parts per billion of nitrogen dioxide. In Montgomery County, it was 53% of homes had readings over what the EPA says is sort of a maximum safe level for a one-hour exposure. In DC, it was even higher. It was 77% of homes recorded the over 100 parts per billion.
I think it's important to note that, you know, people should be safer inside their homes than they are outside their homes. And that, you know, even though we're using a standard that's usually applied to outdoor air, it's troubling that, you know, for the homes that were sampled in this study, many, many of them had a level of nitrogen dioxide that was higher than an outside standard. And your question about, you know, what does a typical gas stove emit is a difficult question to answer. But I would say that a typical gas stove makes the indoor air environment less safe than a typical electric stove. And I think that's the take-home message, that, you know, gas stoves emit combustion products into the indoor air environment. It's a little bit like having an automobile running in your kitchen.
Have you measured homes that are not burning?
We tested homes with gas stoves because nitrogen dioxide is a product of combustion. It would be fairly irrelevant and a waste of our time to test homes with electric stoves. I can tell you that in the outdoors, typically we would see with our devices, this is the testing apparatus, we would turn it on before we got into the house, and typically the outdoor level would be zero. If we got into the house before the stove was started, it would typically be zero.
I'm part of a team with Barbara on Montgomery County side. So just for fun, we had done the testing in my house, and guess what? I have everything electric, and it showed zero, just to answer to that question. Lately, my friend, who also is part of the team, was smelling a lot of gas in her house. So every single day, she has to test her house because she has gas stove, and also her heater is with gas. So at all time, what we realize that even though sometimes they're not burning, they're not cooking, that smell will be in the gas and will be in the house, and that methane. And we also have the machine for that.
And I think really the question you're asking is, how do we know it's the stoves? While this study may not have been set up to answer that question because they tested homes with gas stoves, there is a pretty solid group of literature, scientific literature, where, you know, that question has been answered, where they did compare homes without gas stoves to homes with gas stoves, and they were able to show higher levels, not only of nitrogen dioxide, but also some of the other chemicals that are emitted, like formaldehyde, which is a carcinogen, and particulate matter, which also contributes to respiratory diseases like asthma, but also can be a problem for older people who have cardiovascular disease. For very young children whose immune system is developing, that this can actually contribute to the development of respiratory disease as they grow older. So it not only irritates the diseases that you may currently have, but over time, when you look at a population of young children, there is a fraction of asthma that we think can be directly tied to exposure to nitrogen dioxide from gas stoves.
The reason we picked gas stoves to study is not because we hate gas stoves. It's because that is the appliance. The stoves are typically not vented to the outside. Other, like gas furnaces, water heaters may burn more gas, but they're vented to the outside, where in fact they pollute the outdoor air.
We realize also by, let's say you're cooking in your kitchen, right? You have a two-bedroom or a three-bedroom house. I mean, apartment specifically, we did some houses, and we did mostly apartment. It runs into the house, into the bedrooms also. It's not only, it doesn't even stay only in the kitchen. So that means even the kids are inside the house, or anybody elder is inside the house, it's like they're inhaling that although they're in the bedroom.
And if the stove is poorly maintained, and that's certainly the condition in many homes, then you can get gas leaks occurring even when the stove is not in use. That could contribute to the levels of nitrogen dioxide and other chemicals in the indoor air.
There's a difference in the numbers between DC and Maryland. 77% and 53% is a significant difference. Does dwelling type have an impact?
It seems as though apartments, you know, that would have less, you know, would be tighter and have less ventilation would seem higher than houses. Small kitchens, especially kitchens with one door, had higher concentrations. I think that factors that play into this are, you know, size of the kitchen, amount of ventilation or cross draft, and also the size of the stove. I was in some pretty large kitchens, newly renovated, people with very nice incomes in Woodley and Cleveland Park. I mean, literally, I'm telling the truth here. And the people had bought large restaurant style gas stoves because they, you know, that's supposed to be the best, right? Well, guess what? Their numbers were pretty high.
There does seem to be a higher percentage of apartment buildings where you're finding gas stoves. And so if you've got one gas stove, then the whole building has gas stoves. And so that can be an issue for a couple of reasons. For one, the apartment buildings tend to share air between units. So what happens in one unit in terms of when they're cooking their meals and when the nitrogen dioxide levels might be rising there can affect all of the units that are adjacent or perhaps above or below the unit where they're actively using their stove. So it tends to maximize and expand the time of exposure for everyone living in the building. That doesn't happen so often with people who are living in single family homes because you've got one kitchen basically, usually. And so you're cooking at one period of time. And then, you know, you'll see a drop in the levels the further out you get from the time that the stove is in active use. So that's the difference. And then the other challenge for apartment buildings or condos, you know, multifamily housing is the term we use.
That's right.
Is that changing out the infrastructure can be really expensive for the owner of the building. You know, I've seen estimates of thousands of dollars per unit to convert an entire building because you have to redo the electrical system to be able to handle converting from gas stoves to electric stoves. You can't just, you know, pull out the gas stove and plug in an electric one. If there's a capital investment that has to be borne when you're talking about multifamily housing, that can be a barrier to conversion that you may not have if it's a single family home.
Is that borne out in the data that you all collected?
We found somewhat higher numbers in apartments, but honestly, it was a scattershot. We found high levels in single-family homes as well.
To the homes in Cleveland Park and Woodley Park where they put these Viking stoves, why don't they put functioning range hoods that enable high levels of ventilation?
One of the ones in Cleveland Park that I tested, big range, actually did have ventilation to the outside, which is unusual. 90% of homes don't. And it just didn't seem effective. That home tested at, I think it was 170 odd parts per billion. In other words, well above the 100 parts per billion. Another guy had bought a fancy ventilation system that vented kitchen emissions into the rest of the apartment, not to the outside. So there was maybe a knowledge gap. We also found that many people didn't like their hood fans and their ventilation systems. So whether it just vented to the top of the microwave and back into the kitchen or vented the outside, they didn't like it. They didn't like the noise and so tended not to keep it on.
So technology has worked in another way. For instance, you know, all stoves used to have a pilot light before, and now new stoves don't have pilot lights. that would make a big difference on the NO2 side.
No, all the apartments that we tested don't have that autopilot. And we tested some congregation, and recently we went. It's the same. It's the ventilation. I mean, I can mostly say even the ventilation, because we try, you know, because we give advice and educate people when you are cooking, because here the number, when you are cooking, open the doors, open the windows at that time. But still, the number will show is still higher than that 100 part per billion. So for us, the way we're seeing it right now, even that ventilation is not really working, because we open the doors, we open the windows in those apartments to see the difference. The difference is not that much.
How did you choose the homes where you tested?
The homes were really self-selected. We have Action in Montgomery County that is organizing, and Jamila will talk more about this, in various neighborhoods. We have well over 100 faith congregations, churches, synagogues, mosques. They all, you know, put word out to their members. So it was the contacts that our partners could reach and contacts of contact. So this was not a random sample in the scientific sense. However, we can say that it was a very diverse sample. It was across Montgomery County and DC, and it was a great variety of houses.
Did you ask about household income when you did the survey?
We did not. I don't know, Jamila, if you ever did, but I doubt it.
No. So we talk about it. It was in Silver Spring first, and it was a three-bit building in there. And often, how it really started, also, it's one of the school, elementary school that M work with, a lot of kids also were getting sick. So, and they didn't know why. So when that NO2 testing started, you know, we put the word, and those, you know, certain parents were like, okay, maybe it's part of, you know, let's find out if something was going on.
In Silver Spring, where you found 3-4 times the EPA standard of nitrogen dioxide, have people left those homes? Or are they still living there?
They still live in those conditions. I mean, we put awareness. We advocating for a better home, better apartment condition. And they're still working on it. And sometimes they had explosion, and that was a gas leak. And the same thing when we were testing around Montgomery Village. An example, one lady was there. Her child has asthma, and one of her daughter also was living with her, was pregnant. And, you know, she was in that condition, knowing that, you know, the gas was smelling. She was cooking on top of that when we came to test. She was cooking. So we had to tell her to shut down everything and call the management. So imagine.
Pipe gas and gas stoves, in one way or the other, have been in American homes for over 100 years now. Why is this issue urgent now and not before?
I like to tell this story that my grandmother always used the expression that things were going well when you were cooking with gas. It was a euphemism for, you know, good conditions. My grandmother's no longer with us anymore. And in 2009, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and the Department of Housing and Urban Development got together and created some guidelines for healthy housing. And they focused on a lot of these things in the indoor home environment that we may not have been worried about in the past, that we should be worried about now. Lead exposure was one. And so this attention that we're now paying to indoor air quality and the contribution that gas stoves can make to it has kind of grown out of that.
This raises a very important question. The 2009 provided the basis for this kind of inquiry and policy change. There still isn't an indoor air quality standard. If this is urgent, saying that we'll finally get indoor air quality standards in 20 years is kind of a pointless exercise.
Well, I don't think it'll take 20 years. As a matter of fact, there's a Model State Indoor Air Quality Act that was developed by the Center for Biosecurity, I believe, at Johns Hopkins University, that was released earlier this year, that would, if implemented by states around the country, would provide a regulatory framework for addressing indoor air quality in public buildings. And it's my hope that that will eventually be expanded to include residential buildings, particularly multifamily housing.
Policies don't make themselves. You know, we've learned, science has told us more. We know that a kid who lives in a house with even one gas appliance, like a gas stove, has a 42% greater incidence of asthma. That translates into lost school times. It translates into asthma medication. It translates into sickness and misery. It translates into lost work time for parents. So there's every reason to be getting gas burning out of our homes and buildings. And we need to educate and bring the community with us and advocate for that. And there's pushback. Our gas company is still selling us gas as clean, reliable, and safe. They say it publicly. The American Gas Association has a playbook. They actually call it the AGA playbook, where they tell their industry members, like Washington Gas, which is our provider, you know, tell the people this is a bridge fuel. It's the safest thing. It's cleaning our air. It's safe in your homes. Go ahead, get a gas fireplace. It'll make your home more cozy. A gas stove is the best way to cook.
Is the incidence of asthma that you just mentioned, that number, 42%, is that borne out by your study? Did you collect health information as well?
No, that was way past our ken. All we wanted to know was the level of exposure in a household using a gas stove for what would be a moderate meal, couple burners and the oven at 350. Or if the family didn't use their oven, you put four burners on for half an hour.
The National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey has been used to estimate the contribution of a gas stove to rates of asthma. And basically, there's something called a population attributable factor, and it ranges from about 12% to 18%. So that's the percentage of asthma that would go away if the gas stoves went away.
Is it just the gas stove? I mean, can you really isolate the NO2 impact in that precise terms?
Yes.
How?
As I say, it's done with these large studies that they've been done in the U.S., they've been done in other countries. The estimates are actually remarkably similar across these studies. For the U.S., it's NHANES, the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, that's been used to make these estimates. And they collect data from a representative sample of homes across the country and match it with the health data. And that's how these estimates are generated. It's pretty reliable methodology.
You spoke about electrification of multifamily homes. Multifamily homes are the subject of new Maryland state law. In Montgomery County, there's a county law about electrification. For single family homes, that is not even under consideration. Single family homes are the majority of homes in Montgomery County, not in DC. And those homes appear to be exempted from all kinds of standards requirements, whether it's electrification or indoor air quality. And the focus seems to be very much on multifamily. And I can imagine why, because it's a point source rather than a diffused problem like single family homes is. But the problem is everywhere.
It's worth mentioning that under the Inflation Reduction Act, there's a massive amount of money, thousands of dollars per household available in tax breaks to electrify and for energy efficiency measures. In other words, use less energy of whatever you're using by insulating and having good roofs and, you know, good insulated windows. So there are tax breaks available to every family to move from burning fossil fuels, from gas to electric. And for income qualified families, lower income families, there's also rebates on the table. And it's up to $14,000 for switching stoves, switching furnaces, upgrading electric panels. Worth mentioning that we now also have the technology to do this really well. In my own kitchen, I tested my kitchen and the level was 244 parts per billion. Small, it's an apartment kitchen with one window. And I bought a small induction cooktop, a one burner. I use that as the burner of choice. We tell the families that we test, the first thing you should do is increase your ventilation and use the electric appliances you have at hand. Think about buying an induction cooktop if you can't just, you know, if you're a renter, you can't tear out your stove. And longer term, think about electrifying your house if you can. And then, of course, we all need to work together to move off burning fossil fuels to electric appliances for health as well as for climate and other reasons.
So you talked about $14,000 that is available. And, you know, if you change your HVAC and you change your water heater and you do this and that, you'll get $14,000. But, you know, changing from gas to electric in a home, and, you know, obviously multifamily apartments, the economics is a whole different thing. But in a home, it's not only putting a heavy voltage power line from your meter to the kitchen, but also removing the old gas line, capping it. So that is thousands of dollars at this moment.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
And that's not covered, I don't believe, by others. The appliances may be covered, but the actual work is not.
In DC, we just passed something called the Healthy Homes Act, which will help 30,000 low and moderate income families electrify their homes. That money, by the way, is also available to landlords who have 50% or more of lower income tenants. So, but you're right, it's an expensive proposition. But how expensive is asthma medication? How expensive is the illness that is provoked by this exposure? There are very good reasons to make this transition.
How tightly is the cause and effect established with respect to NO2 that people will go, okay, this is the thing that I should invest in? I don't believe that's quite clear.
It may not be clear, but that doesn't mean that it isn't true. I think the awareness is just low. You know, people are just beginning to understand the risk that's sitting in their kitchen. It's a matter of the risk not being as well known. We need a campaign, really, to alert people to the dangers of using gas appliances in their homes that has the same reach and the same breadth as the campaigns that were implemented to alert people to the risk of smoking cigarettes.
Millions of people next week are going to run their gas stoves, gas ranges, for over 3-4 hours at a time cooking their turkeys. Mm-hmm. What do you say to them?
Open your windows. Use a vent fan, an exhaust fan. Use electric appliances when you can. Do all of those things because the nitrogen dioxide levels in your kitchen and the surrounding living area are likely to get very high. It's important to do. I happened to catch an interview with one of the researchers who put out that gas stove asthma attribution study that Dr. Phoenix mentioned. And she said that she could tell the family's cooking rhythms by the rhythm of the child's asthma attack. In other words, that's, you know, there's a very direct link in terms of the irritation to the lungs and the health effect.
Jamila Ba, Barbara Briggs, Janet Phoenix, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, hopefully that did not ruin Thanksgiving. Apart from the obvious lesson that if you cook on gas, be sure to open your doors and windows while you cook your turkey this year, what other lessons can we draw from my conversation with Barbara Briggs, convener of the Interfaith Climate Group, Beyond Gas, physician Janet Phoenix, and community leader Jamila Ba? The Beyond Gas Coalition is really a product of Climate Group's Interfaith Power and Light and Sierra Club, among others. The nitrogen dioxide study is really a health issue. The coalition, best I can tell, wants to make two arguments with a single goal. Get rid of fossil fuel appliances. It is good for the earth and it is good for you. Environment and health are obviously related. But policy-wise, those are very different buckets. Not to forget, very different departments, disciplines, schools, and cultures. We can bundle them together under another omnibus category, environmental justice. But let's not forget why these disciplines and departments and the training people receive when they work in these separate fields are in fact different. First, if everything is related to everything else, then the challenges become too big to tackle. We have to break them up. Secondly, the logic of their operation can often be different. Health professionals worry about indoor air quality. For the longest time, environmental types have cared more about what's outside your home. Are you surprised there is no indoor air quality standard from the EPA? The question that I have from talking with Briggs, Phoenix, and Ba is whether their strategy of combining climate and health will work in the current state of politics. With the new Trump administration, we should expect more than a healthy dose of climate skepticism. If argued on the basis of health alone, the coalition may arguably be received better by the new administration. Certainly, someone like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. might be predisposed to citizen science studies and a grassroots approach. But maybe all of this is just linear thinking and wrong. We may have a wholly new republic soon. Whatever happens in politics, remember, induction cooktops cost a low few $100s in home improvement box stores. And you can plug them into regular electrical outlets. You'll need some different cooking pans, though. That's all for this episode of I Hate Politics, where we aim to stem the decline in local news by working with community voices. Don't forget to tune in to our Tuesday morning news analysis. I Hate Politics is produced by me, Sunil Dasgupta, and assistant producer, Adama Gay, with support from University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I direct UMBC's political science program at the universities at Shady Grove in Montgomery County, where, among other things, we explore and learn about politics, government, and society close to home. Music for this episode comes from Washington, D.C. rock and roll band, Seven Door Sedan. Glenn Kowalski on vocals and guitar, Josh Singer on bass guitar, and Norman Vandersloos on drums. You can find their newest fall 2024 singles on Bandcamp. We use two songs, Neutral and Juniper. If you want to share your music on the show or know someone else who might want to, please email us at producer@ihppod.org. I hope you'll subscribe and share the podcast as we bring you stories about politics close to you and to your home. Have a good Thanksgiving.